satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of thing the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Bon Bon, Thomas Bon Vasuto.
Sir, how you doing?
What happened to your mic?
Oh, I don't know. It's right there.
There it is.
It's there.
Now
it's right there. That's good. We're all ready.
Didn't hear you at first there. I could hear you in the background. Couldn't hear you on the radio, though. Anyway, it seems like I was just here yesterday, right? You know, on the radio, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, every week we're here.
Yeah, but it seems like time
clockwork.
Flew, you know, because
you did like 200 tax returns since then.
Hey, you know, that's what life is all about, Tom, with tax returns this time of year.
Yeah.
Fun, till daddy takes the tax returns away, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, there's a song.
Song. Who's the group that did that? The Beach Boys,
yeah,
right?
The Beach Boys did that one. That's right.
Anyway, we're here on an open show. This is your night. Chance to call in and ask any questions you want. Last week we were talking estate planning.
Right.
We can talk more about that if you want to, but it's open now. So you can talk about anything you want to, 410-922-6680, and get to hear the answers to the questions that are most important to you. Because, you know, I get people that do email me and call me every so often and say, you know, this is what's going on, you know, do you think you can help me and give me some insight as to, you know, and so forth?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, people have things that they're interested in that are specifically affecting them. And that's what the open show's all about, is to be able to address those questions. So if you have a burning issue that you need an answer to, give us a call at 410-922-6680 to answer your personal finance question and direct the conversation tonight. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. So the topic that I thought I would at least start with, Tomas, as we used to call it, Drew's Views, is that, you know, as you watch this new tax law evolving, okay, as you're doing tax returns and you're now sitting down with a client and saying, here's what's going to happen next year, this is what you got to be concerned with. The number one issue is always if you're over 70 years of age, and actually the technical thing is
70 and a half.
You have to be over the age of 70 and a half. Who sits around and thinks about when is my 70 and a half birthday,
that's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I
so know,
you know
on July 31st.
January 31st.
No, January 31st, therefore February 1st. You probably have to wait till February 1st.
Okay, we'll just say that.
For safety's
February
sake.
1st. 2027.
2028, because it's a half, it's the next half.
Yeah, the January of 31st.
Your financial advisor is going to call you,
2028. I don't have to think about it. It's in CRM. My financial advisor will call me. Anyway, somewhere around there, 70 years down the road, anyway, 70 and a half. You have to do all of your charitable donations from your IRA.
Yep.
Now, when I say all of your charitable donations, you're not going to be calling your financial guy up and say, I want to give $25 to the Red Cross.
Right.
Can you cut me a check? No, that's not what you want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're giving $100, $500, $1,000, and if you're doing it on a regular basis, like if you're giving your church $200 a month, just give them $2,400 in one lump sum.
Exactly.
It's called a qualified charitable distribution.
Yep.
Listen to me. If you're over 70 and a half and you're giving money to charity, you want to be doing it through your IRA if you're over 70 and a half years of age. And if you're not, and you're not calling your financial custodian of your IRA, and keep in mind, this is a very important point, you can't leave your money in your TSP plan.
Right.
You can't leave your money in your 403B plan.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave your money in your 401K plan.
Correct.
It can only come from an IRA.
Yep.
A qualified charitable distribution can only come from an IRA. It's very important because there are people that will do this. They'll call up their custodian of their 401k or their IRA, their retired, TSP, and they'll say, no, they'll send a check. If you call them up and you sign off on send a check to St. John's Church or whatever the case may be, they'll do it. But if you want to consider it a qualified charitable distribution, you're going to be in for a big surprise when you fill out your tax return if you try to do that. And matter of fact, I've seen a few court cases on this where people said, well, I did it as a qualified charitable distribution. They said, sorry, the law doesn't provide for a 401k to do that or something of that. You know, so qualified charitable distributions, extremely important in 2018 and on.
Yep. Yeah, and it's all part of comprehensive planning, though, Drew. This is the challenge with the variety of advisors that are out there. You know, they consider themselves very experienced and full service, but they're really not. They're not looking at the whole picture.
Nor
do they care. As a matter of fact, they don't want you to do a distribution from your IRA because they don't want to lose the money.
They don't want to lose the money, administrative hassle.
Over 70 and a half, you have to take what's called an RMD, a required minimum distribution, and this is, we found, is a very effective way to do it, and there are lots of other nuances that can be worked out depending on people's situations.
That is true. We're on an open show, though, Thomas, and so if anybody, there is nobody calling in. Nobody has
any
interest.
We'll keep talking. I got plenty to talk about.
We got plenty to talk about, I'm sure. And between you and I, I'm sure we could fill up the hour of talk. So 410-922-6680. There was nobody out on the road. Everybody got off because of the snowstorm that came in, you know, and really wiped the place out there, you know, the blizzard of 2018, we'll call it. Anyway, 410-922-6680, if you want to call and ask a question. Right now, we have to take our first pause, and we'll be back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. This is for business owners and presidents of companies listening today. If you have a 401k in your company, then let me warn you that lawyers are hunting for you with good reason. 401k plans with less than 1,000 employees have been built around revenue sharing, or in my words, commissions. The Department of Labor has opened a door for lawyers to sue you on behalf of employees unhappy with excessive fees in the plan. They are correct, but the funny thing is the business owner has normally the majority of the money in the plan. You need a great plan for you and your employees, for everyone's retirement is dependent on it. We do a 401k review of your plan to help determine how to develop the best possible commission-free plan and keep the plan current. Call 410-823-SAVE, that's 410-823-SAVE, to schedule your 401k review. Everyone's retirement is dependent on it, so call 410-823-SAVE. All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Lines are filled, so we're going to go to them right now. Just Dustin in Cadenceville. Dustin, how can we help you?
Hey, how you guys doing? Once again, my name's Dustin.
Yeah.
I was curious. I've always been told that before you go to buy a house, that you should, on your taxes, not claim any deductions. Try to show as much income that you've earned for the prior 2 years. Is this true or false?
Well, are you self-employed?
No, I'm a truck driver.
No, it's false because, you know, what they're going to look at when they do a mortgage application is they're going to look at your gross income, and then they're going to look at your debt and your servicing of the debt, and that's pretty much it. They don't look at your medical bills and your tax deductions
or your
and
withholding
your,
or that kind
your
of stuff.
Withholding or your miscellaneous itemized deductions or your charitable giving. They just look at your debt and they look at your gross income and they say, you know, can Dustin afford to handle this mortgage or not? That's predominantly it, unless you're self-employed. Now, that can make a difference because you take deductions, that's going to drop your gross income.
Right.
So I'm not sure where that's coming from.
No, I was just told by some relatives, and I didn't think it was true, but I wanted to find out. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, you're
all
welcome.
Right, buddy. Take care.
Good luck.
Anyway, we're going to Wes in Westminster. Does that mean you own Westminster?
I wish that were true, but unfortunately it's not.
So it's not named after you then, right?
No, it hasn't been named. It's Italian Pennsylvania named after my family from hundreds of years ago, but Westminster's not mine.
All right, Wes. What can I do for you?
Well, I just got in at the end of the conversation on the qualified distributions from the IRA.
Yep.
Right.
And I would like to know, you know, what the tax implications are. Why is it better to take the qualified distribution from the IRA as opposed to just taking your distribution and then making the charitable contribution directly?
Well, because number one, if you know how tax returns work, the adjusted gross income on the first page of your return is going to affect lots of things throughout your Maryland return and your federal return. So that's number one, because when you do a qualified charitable distribution, you immediately drop gross income down or adjusted gross income down. So that's point number one.
If you do the qualified distribution out of your IRA, it does not count as income.
That's correct. Exactly. It's a wash. So if I put $5,000 to charity out of my RMD, that's $5,000 less income I have to report, but I don't get a deduction for it, but I don't have to report the income either. So it's a wash, all right?
Got it.
So you see how that works. Now, the second part is the New Jobs Act, for people who are over 70 and a half and are married, their itemized deductions have to exceed $26,600, and their state and local income taxes and property taxes are limited to just $10,000. So 95% of Americans are no longer going to itemize. Guess what that means to your charitable contributions, Wes?
Got it.
Now you see the big power of doing all your charitable contributions out of your IRA, and it has to be an IRA, if you're over the exact age of 70 and a half.
Yep.
All right, buddy?
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I get caught in Westminster by police. I'm calling Wes up, and he'll get me out of that.
And your other point, you know, that you implied there was about Medicare premiums are based on adjusted gross income. Other things are based on that in addition. So there's other elements
Roth
of that, too.
Roth IRA contributions could be impacted. Yep. Maryland income tax with exemptions.
Yep.
We're going to Pat in Perry Hall. Pat, how can we help you?
Question.
Yeah, go ahead.
My husband died last year, and one distribution had been made before his death. After I went to the bank and notified them of his death, no further distributions were made, although his account had been set up for four. So I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble with the IRS about that, am I not?
No, not really. You just need to make sure that the required minimum distribution comes out, what should be.
Well, it's too late.
No. Listen, you're talking about for 2017, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So you just take it out for 17, and you take out what should have come out, which would come out now for 18. So you take out what should have come out for 17, what will come out for 18. And when your tax person fills your tax return out for 2018, you're going to say, or 2017, better, you're going to say, he files a 5329, and he says to the IRS, the husband died, mistake was made, sorry, mea culpa, took it out in 2018, and 99.999% of the times, the IRS does not impose the penalty for late withdrawals of IRAs as long as you take the money out in a year or you discover that it was a mistake.
All right. Could I have my tax person do that for the 2018 taxes then?
Yeah.
And the 17s are already gone.
Yeah, you can do that for 17. I mean, for 18 taxes,
okay.
Also, you know, because they're not going to worry about it. They're going to just know, okay, Pat did realize it. It was a mistake. It was covered. That she took it out in 18, and she's asking for, you know, exemption from the penalty. We're going to give it to her. End of the story. All right.
All right. That's really good. Great news. I was
you sleep soundly tonight there, Pat, okay? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
And if you have any trouble with it, you get in touch with me, and I'll take care of it for you.
I'll tell them. Okay. Thanks
all right.
a lot.
You take care. And we're going to Jim in Ellicott City. Jim, how can we help you?
Yes, hi. I'm looking to get status on what the Maryland state legislature is doing with regard to modification of the Maryland tax code to help mitigate the increase in Maryland taxes due to the new federal tax law. I haven't heard much, and I know the session ends for the year in April.
You know, Jim, there's one thing in life that boils my blood more than anything, and that's thinking about what Maryland legislators are doing. This has got to be the most incompetent group of individuals in the world. I mean, they are unbelievable. Now, I will give them credit that the IRS came in and finally said, hey, we're not going to hammer you guys for the health savings account right now, but you better get it right by 2020. Now, you know, and, you know, they seem like they're working on it. But whether they're going to get right the Maryland income tax issues between now and filing season of next year, I'm still tuning in there,
and
Jim.
What some of them, Drew, one of them is the standard deduction issue, right?
Standard deduction issue. They're talking about actually bringing back the estate tax back down to $1 million again. They're talking about all kinds of crazy things. There's some really crazy bills in Congress, I mean, in the House right now.
Maryland
House. Mm-hmm. You know, at this point in time, Jim, I can't answer your question. But okay. these guys really boil my blood more than anything. They're down there talking about a single-payer health care system mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Maryland, mm-hmm. where we're not going to be able to be on Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We're going to be on the Maryland health care system. Mm. I mean, is that ridiculous that they're sitting down there talking about that kind of stuff? You know, I don't know what they're thinking about, Jim.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yep, incompetence. Good news is my wife and I retired in 2016, so if it looks really bad, my bags are half packed. So
let me tell you something. I mean, you know, we have clients that we have hundreds and hundreds of clients, and every time they retire, I'd say, what would you say, Tom? 50% of them
mm-hmm.
moving.
Yeah, we're actually doing the show from Florida right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
He wishes he was doing the show from
thinking.
Florida.
I have friends in Florida and Delaware that have left Maryland. So.
That's the two areas that our clients are going to, Delaware yep. and Florida.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I'll let you know as soon as I hear. I'll let you know
okay,
what they decide. All right, take
Bye.
Care. Anyway, what do you want to do, Chris? We going on our pause?
He wants to pause. He's pausing.
All right, we got to take our pause, but hopefully, Bob? Bob, I hope you hold on through our pause here, and we'll be right back. Money, Riches, Wealth. If you want to get online, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. Diamond and Garfunkel. So close.
My wife's going to be texting soon.
Jim Croce. Cat Stevens.
There you go.
You know, that was real close. They both have C's in their name. Simon and Garfunkel. See, there's a C in there. Funkel. Or is that a CK? Anyway, we're going to on an open show. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. You want to call in? I do have a couple callers online. I'm going to Bob. He's been so patient. Bob, how can we help you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Evening.
I know the new tax law is supposed to be doubling the standard deduction, but then doing away with some of the itemized deductions, and I've got three itemized deductions. I'm wondering if they'll still have. Number one is capital gains and losses on stock. Are there going to be any changes in that? Or
No changes on that.
Good. Then the next one, which is near and dear to my heart, is margin interest rate. You know, margin interest that you have to, not rate, but margin interest.
Margin interest is still deductible as long as you have investment income, interest, dividends. As long as you have interest and dividends, you can deduct margin interest against interest and dividends.
Oh, it's just against...
It's always
but
been
that's
that
not
way.
A change.
It's not changed. That's the way the law's always
that's,
been.
That's the same.
Yeah.
In other words, my dividends usually just get thrown in, you know, against the margin interest. But in other words, they don't take the difference. They just take each one. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
that's the way your return is currently.
What's dividends and then
right.
what your interest is. Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's called investment interest expense, and it's offset against investment income.
Right.
But so, not in but excess.
Not in excess. But that's always been the law, and that's still the law under the new law.
And then the last is, how about interest on home equity loans?
Interest on home equity loans is deductible only if it was used to either acquire the home that it's collateralized against, or you did a major improvement when you took that home equity credit line out. So let's say, for example, I take $50,000 out of my home equity credit line and I redid my kitchen, and I can show the correlation between the money coming out and the kitchen that I did. It's deductible, and it's still deductible into the future. Now, let's say, though, I took the money out and bought a $50,000 automobile. It is no longer deductible after in 2018 taxes and on, if that's the reason you took the money out. Now, how's the IRS
going to... Is that a change from...
That's a big change. Yeah. And now, how's the IRS going to police this? I don't know. I mean, obviously, us CPAs have to be cognizant of it, and we have to be working diligently with our clients. But if you're doing your return yourself, I don't know how they're gonna monitor that, and I don't know how individuals are gonna monitor it either.
Right, and
Bob, I want to know what you spent the money on.
Yep,
that's correct.
Yeah, keep some records. But Bob, the other thing you said earlier was about the standard deduction and the itemized deduction. So, if the rest of your deductions on Schedule A, the itemized deductions, are now going to be less than the new standard deduction, the home equity line is a moot point for you either way.
That's true too.
All right. All right.
Yeah,
well,
so are you married or single?
I got a lot of margin interest.
Yeah, okay. But that's
in the past, so.
Yeah, and that's not on that part of the document anyway. So.
Yeah, it is. Right. That's part of the item.
It's on the itemized?
Yeah, it's part of the itemized. It flows through under mortgage, you know, under the interest deduction. Yeah, it definitely does.
Okay,
I know it does.
Home equity, though, that's got to be plowed back into the house in one way or the other.
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing is,
right.
You know, let's say you have a lot of margin interest. That flows through to the interest deduction on itemized deduction.
Okay.
So if you don't itemize, margin interest doesn't do a darn thing for you.
Point. Right.
Yeah.
All right,
Bob, I got to go. Good question.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. We have one caller online. If you want to call in and get your topic of interest discussed, something that you near and dear to your heart, 410-922-6680. I'm going to Tom. Tom, this is Tom. Meet Tom.
Good evening. How does it work with an annuity, paying an annuity out of your traditional IRA? Does that reduce your required minimum distribution?
Well, that's a great question, Tom, and it really depends on how the annuity is distributing money, because there's numerous ways that an annuity can distribute money. So if you actually did annuitize the annuity that is paid out over your life expectancy, and when you die it stops, it is the required minimum distribution. That is the definition of an RMD. The way that an RMD is calculated is the IRS has developed a life expectancy payout, et cetera, et cetera. So if you do a life expectancy annuity, it is the fulfillment of an RMD. Now, if you just did a guaranteed withdrawal, that's a different story. And if you did just a automatic monthly withdrawal, that's a different story. So there's all kinds of ways you can take money.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, I was told that there's a provision. Let's say your required minimum distribution is $10,000 a year. So you would take a regular regular distribution from your IRA of $5,000, and the balance of $5,000 you would use to purchase or to finance an annuity. And am I correct that $5,000 that your required minimum distribution would be reduced by the $5,000, or let's say $50,000? Say you had $100,000 distribution. Required minimum distribution, $50,000 went to purchase an annuity, $50,000 was your regular.
Hold on a sec, Tom. Let's step back a sec, okay? When you say purchase an annuity, tell me what kind of annuity. What are you doing with? You're buying an annuity and then you're automatically getting a monthly payout from it?
No, yes, an immediate annuity.
It's an immediate annuity, and when you die or you and your spouse die, it stops, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so in that kind of an annuity, it is the annuitization of that annuity would be the RMD. In other words, you have fulfilled the RMD by the fact. Now, if you're trying to ask me if that's more than what my RMD would have been on the other side, can I not take money out over there? My answer would be probably not, but I'd actually have to look into that one because that's a unique one that not many people do, but I don't think so.
I thought that there was a new provision. Let's say you had $1 million in a traditional IRA. Let's say you took it, you could take $500,000 out, and it would be a direct transfer to the annuity, and that would reduce your traditional IRA by $500,000.
Well, now you're talking about a longevity annuity, maybe is what you're referring to, but let's say I have $1 million. And I take $500,000 of it, and I start an immediate monthly annuity with that immediate annuity would be the RMD on that $500,000 because I annuitized it with a life expectancy payout. The other $500,000 I leave over here, as far as I'm concerned at this point in time, but without doing, because we don't do this very often, my opinion is that other $500,000 would still require a minimum distribution on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the way I'd interpret it. Based on what you're telling me, that you're doing an immediate annuity. Now, if you were doing a guaranteed life payout from a guaranteed withdrawal annuity, now that would be a very different type of story.
I thought that there was a provision in the tax law meant to encourage people to purchase
immediate annuities?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to look into that because it's not something I'm familiar with, believe it or not. That's one that I got to admit, you've got a question. I am not familiar with that, and that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist just because I'm not familiar with it. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
See, now, he could be talking about the new provision of the longevity annuity.
Mm-hmm.
The longevity annuity, I could take up to $100,000 out, and I could put it into this longevity annuity and not have any required minimum distribution on that $100,000.
That requirement. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not familiar with being able to do a guaranteed withdrawal. But I'll look into it because it would be an interesting concept if it exists.
Yep.
Anyway, we're on the last quarter of our show. We got to take our last pause. We're on an open show today, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. The lines are open if you want to call and ask your question. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in two meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical or go online to DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in, ask a question. And while we were on that break, we did some homework on Tom's question about can an immediate annuity actually lessen the RMD requirement. So Tom said, assume you had $1 million and you take $500,000 and put it out into an immediate annuity and it generates $40,000 a year. But my required minimum distribution on the full million would have only been $40,000.
Right.
Does the immediate annuity then satisfy the whole RMD for both the $500 I put into the annuity and the $500 I still have out not in an annuity? And the answer in my research is exactly what I said, no, because the $500,000 that you put into an immediate annuity that's irrevocable, it's going to give you a monthly money, and when you die, it ceases.
Mm-hmm.
Is an RMD in and of itself. It's no longer calculated in the required minimum distribution calculation. The other $500,000 in our theoretical example is still subject to RMDs regardless what the immediate annuity money, because that $500,000 is no longer factored into the equation.
Right.
That's the answer, and I believe that answer is correct after doing some research in our thing. But if you find something, Tom, please send it to me. I'd love to know about any kind of new tax law changes. We're on an open show. We're going to Jim in a second. If you want to call in, we probably can handle one more caller after I talk to Jim. 410-922-6680. Jim in Towson, how can we help you?
Yes, thanks so much for the show. Really enjoy it. Appreciate your help. A quick question about a husband, wife, both 65, will turn 66 next year. Is the wife still eligible to take half of her husband's amount, which would be more than hers, when she turns 66?
Well, wait, you have a tremendous opportunity, Jim, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming your Social Security is higher than your spouse's.
Well, yeah, this is actually for a relative, but I'm
oh, we're always calling in
always
for
calling
a
for
friend
else.
Or a relative.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Jim, let's assume this is a married relative of yours, right?
Sure it is, yeah.
And the husband's Social Security is a lot higher than the wife's. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay,
right.
But they're both 65 right now. Is that correct?
Correct. They'll be 66 next year.
Mm-hmm. 66 next year. Okay. So here's what you would do in that situation. This is what we would do, all right? We would have the wife go in and claim Social Security because she's the lower of the two, and she would claim before they turn 66 years of age. Who turns 66 first, the husband or the wife?
The husband does in May, yeah.
Okay, so the husband, and well, the wife will go in April or March and claim her Social Security. She's claiming a little early. That's okay, because that's the one we're going to claim against. The husband, when he turns 66, like the month before he turns 66, which would be April, he'll go in and he'll claim his own Social Security, but then he'll suspend it and take half of hers. Okay? Are you following me? Now, he's going to get half of hers until he's 70, and there's going to be no impact on his own Social Security. And when he's 70, he's going to go back and he's going to take his own at a full 70 benefit, which would have blossomed by a 32% increase from what it would have been at age 66. And then his wife is going to go back and say, and by the way, if half of his is more than mine, I want half of his now.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And now this strategy will increase dramatically the overall amount they get out of Social Security, assuming that they both live to at least 80 years of age.
I see. Mm-hmm. That's a great answer.
Now wait. There's one thing that has to explain to everyone. The only reason that your relatives can do this is because they were born before January 2nd, 1954.
Okay. All right.
All the rest of us who were born after January 2nd, 1954, we can't do this. Thank you, President Obama. We wanted to just thank you for protecting the Social Security system and eliminating us from this, but allowing all the other people from Social Security be able to do this from time to the beginning. But anyway, that's another story.
That's great, but they went to a Social Security office this week. They told them they were not eligible. They no longer do that.
That so, you know, you can't... You can't take what representatives tell you over the, you know, even if you think they should, you insist that they're wrong. They are wrong. And it is still fully, and even us, even you and me, Jim, can go to Social Security. And if I claim Social Security, my wife can still claim against me, period. But they have a special opportunity where when he turns 66, he can claim half of hers, even though that's lower than his, and let his own benefit continue to grow by 32% more by the time he turns 70 and supercharges Social Security. And this is a unique benefit only to people born before 1954.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much for that information.
Yeah, but you make sure you tell them they're wrong. Get me a supervisor. If I've got an incompetent person that's going to make a statement like that, get me a supervisor. And if you have any trouble, you always remember this. If you're ever dealing with Social Security and you have an issue, you know you're right, and they keep telling you you're wrong, go to your congressman or your senator and tell them that's what Social Security is doing. And I'll tell you something. If a congressman or senator calls Social Security and says, what are you doing to my constituent? You will have action. I'm serious about this. I'm very serious. Anybody out there listening, if you have a problem with Social Security, you call your congressman or senator and you say, I know I'm right. This is what they're doing. This is what they keep telling me. And when they call that office, I'll tell you, you get action within 30 seconds of the phone call.
They'll get it right.
They'll get it right, I assure you. I've done it too many times, and I'm not kidding about this. This is a strategy you use not as an immediate, but when you have a real problem with them, call your congressman or senator and tell them, and I'll tell you, within 30 seconds of them calling that office or one of their aides calling that office, you will have it rectified. All right, Jim.
Great to know. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Mm-hmm. Take care.
You're welcome.
You know, that's the honest. I learned that from a Social Security person.
Right.
Mr. Social Security himself was the one that taught me that. He said, look, Drew, you have a problem. You tell them to call them congressman or senator. And I assure you that the minute they call that office knows they hear from a congressman or a senator.
Right.
You get that right immediately.
Yep.
Or you explain to the congressman or senator why what they're doing is correct.
Yep. Yeah.
And
they stand up for their constituents.
They will. And when it comes to Social Security, they will stand up strong. It's one of the incredible benefits of a congressman. I don't know that we can say many of them, but here's one that is truly there.
We're thankful for that. So pre-January 1st, 1954, if you're born before that date, still have that opportunity to do the restricted application.
That's correct. That's the exact technical term of what it is. Who's up next week with us, Tom?
Wade Fowle.
We've had him before. We're going to be talking about retirement, how to get it right.
Yeah, and we'll talk about annuities some more, maybe with Wade.
Yeah.
You know, that's
and
an area he does expertise.
That question.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm sure anybody knows the answer. Mm-hmm. He does because he has a doctorate in retirement income planning.
Yes, he does.
Yep. So anyway, Thomas, you're going to be with me next week?
I will be. Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. That's good. We're here finished for the night. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.